Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm Dave Custy, and my guest today is Brian Gunia. Brian Gunia is an assistant professor at the Johns Hopkins Carey Business School. He holds a PhD in management and organizations from Northwestern University. Brian's research focuses on negotiation, ethical decision-making, and organizational failure. He is currently investigating people's reactions to the act of taking blame. Brian's research has been published in several academic journals, including the Academy of Management Journal, Journal of Applied Psychology, Journal of Experimental Social Psychology, Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin, and Annual Review of Psychology. His research has also been featured in popular media outlets, including The Economist, The Wall Street Journal, and Forbes. Brian's research and teaching have reached several awards, including the 2013 Best Paper Award from the International Association of Conflict Management. In 2013, Brian founded the Johns Hopkins Business in Government Initiative, which seeks to foster a two-way connection between the business school and national government spheres. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. Give me a little short bio.
My undergraduate education was at Washington University in St. Louis, and when I was there, I studied economics. I was also involved in a political newspaper at the university, and I also had the opportunity to participate in a White House internship at the time. The internship happened to fall during the 9/11 period, so I actually started the internship 2 weeks before 9/11, and it continued for a couple of months afterwards. So you can imagine that was a pretty formative experience for me. It really shaped, I think, a lot of my subsequent interests. Following my time at WashU in St. Louis, I was a consultant for 3 years in Chicago at Deloitte, and I helped, I think, eight different organizations as part of a consulting team, helped eight different organizations go through major change initiatives. So I saw a lot of interesting management issues unfold through that process. I then went to Northwestern to get my PhD in management. Studied the topics that you mentioned. My dissertation was about what the members of a team say to one another after a failure and how that impacts the team's ability to learn and move on from that. And then I came to Johns Hopkins about 2.5 years ago, and I specifically came here to kind of merge my interest in government and politics with my research on negotiation, organizational failure, and ethical decision making. So that's where I am today, and I founded the Business and Government Initiative very recently, which you mentioned, and we can talk about a little bit more if you'd like.
When you first got here, what was that like when you started here at Johns Hopkins?
I was coming from Chicago. I hadn't really been to Baltimore before, except as a kid with my parents to the Inner Harbor. So the first aspect was just the personal adjustment. I've come to really love and enjoy Baltimore in the time that I've been here, but that was kind of the initial thing I experienced was adapting to a new life in a new city. I also came to really like and appreciate Johns Hopkins. I think Johns Hopkins is a very mission-driven organization. It's all about improving the human condition, regardless of what part of the university that you might find yourself in. So I found that to be kind of a very motivating, very refreshing, very kind of inspiring type of mission. And the third aspect of my transition, I would say, is that I was coming to a relatively new institution. The Carey Business School was founded in 2007, so it was only a couple of years old. It felt kind of like an entrepreneurial startup type of venture when I arrived. So that was fairly exciting for me as well, to be kind of getting in at the ground floor of a relatively new organization.
When did you start at Hopkins?
I started at Hopkins in 2011.
This big initiative is your first big initiative.
It is. You might put it that way. So I'm primarily a research professor. So my main job is doing research and also doing teaching. This initiative is something that I started in addition to those things, because I think it's important to connect the business school world and the world of federal government. And I see a lot of parallels and a lot of complements to the research and the teaching that I do.
Tell me a little bit about BIG.
It really even started before I got here. In some of the experiences that I mentioned, I've always been interested in trying to kind of connect what goes on in a business school with what goes on in the government, because I really think that both sides can gain from that type of interaction. So one of the reasons I decided to come here is, naturally we're 40 miles away from Washington, right? So it's easier to do that. Also being a new institution, it's easier to kind of get this type of initiative off the ground. There's not as much institutional momentum that would prevent something like this from happening. So those are two things that brought me here. And in the first 2 years I was here, I kind of did the, you know, the Brian Gunia roadshow, where I would go to Washington and conduct short courses, you know, sit on panels, write op-eds, participate in interviews related to, you know, my personal areas of expertise. Recently, over the last year or so, I've come to appreciate that this could go beyond me. There's lots of other people at the Carey School who are interested in this type of activity, who have a perspective that could benefit government organizations. And I also realize that there's another side to this, that we as a business school can also learn a lot from government organizations. More of our research and thinking has to do with business organizations. So there's really a two-way benefit to be realized here. We think we as a business school, you know, can benefit government organizations to help themselves maximize and optimize their performance as organizations. And we also feel like we have a lot to learn from government organizations as to how you operate within the unique challenges and constraints of the political world. How do you deal with a government shutdown, for example, like we're experiencing right now?
Give me the evolution. Give me the steps of how it's formed and where you are right now.
Well, the evolution for the first 1.5 years, I would say, was just me, you know, doing as many of these activities as I felt was appropriate while staying within the bounds of my, you know, what I'm called Hopkins to do. Toward the end of that period, I in some of the organizations I was interacting with, they said, you know, this is great, not because of you, Brian, per se, but because there's no other way we would, you know, learn about negotiation. There's no other way we would learn about teamwork. You know, the types of topics I talk about. This is great. We enjoy it. So that gave me a lot of confidence in the fact that the initiative has value and really could take off. And they also started asking for other material, right? They started asking for insight on finance, on marketing, on PR, you know, issues that I know something about, but I'm not an expert in. So that, you know, caused the light bulb to go off, if you will. That led me to realize that I could involve more of my colleagues in this, that it would really fit with what the school is trying to do. The school is the tagline of the school is business with humanity in mind, and one of the things that means is, you know, bringing business knowledge to bear on the broader world. So I felt that this fit pretty well with the mission of the school, fit pretty well with the interests of my colleagues, and so I approached the leadership of the school. They've always been very supportive and are behind it, and have, you know, given me the support I need to launch the initiative and to involve as many of my colleagues as are interested.
And how is that going? Do you have other people of support that work with your research?
We have a large group of people at this point. Actually, I was very impressed with the initial kind of groundswell of interest. About somewhere between 20 and 25 faculty members indicated that they were interested, which is we're not a big school, so that's a large number. And over time, we've kind of you know, cultivated that interest and kind of determined how to best involve various people in the process. And so it's going well. In the first year, we've spent a lot of time really focusing on the administrative aspects, making sure that we, you know, have a website, have the relevant, you know, people involved, and so forth. But we've also engaged in teaching with some organizations in Washington. We formed some exciting partnerships with government organizations. So it's really going well, and I'm optimistic about the future.
Well, what about student involvement? Mm-hmm. Do you have programs and or courses where students can get a firsthand knowledge of what you're doing?
There are two ways we've tried to involve students so far. One is that we're in the process of forming a big student group. So this group, the specific, you know, purpose of this group will be to basically train leaders that are interested in working at the intersection of business and government, people that are interested in kind of bringing business knowledge to bear in government, people that are, you know, have come from government and are interested in making the transition to business. I think all of these types of students, which we have at Carey, would benefit from such a group. So that group is in the process of being kind of taken off the ground. And the other way we're involving students is we're thinking about developing a class that cuts across two of our programs, the MBA, MA. So there's some of our students get both an MBA and an MA in government. So we're developing a class that would be co-listed across both of those programs that basically calls upon people to take the knowledge they've learned in business school, the business school component, and extend it to a real problem being faced within a government organization.
But besides students and researchers and people at Hopkins, do you plan to engage community people in search of local businessmen too?
I hope to. So, you know, really what we're really focused on at this point is connecting the business school community with the federal government world. So we're, you know, I and the people.
Sounds like a full-time job there.
It is a full-time job. You know, we're aware that there have been efforts in the past to connect businesses with government, and some have worked and some have not. So one of the key things about the initiative is that we think that, you know, we as a business school operate on the basis of research. That's what we do. We research what makes organizations work and not work so well. So we want to make sure that we connect research-based knowledge and not kind of business fads and fashions to the government, because we're sensitive to the fact that that has, you know, sometimes works, sometimes does not work. So we want to first kind of develop our credibility, if you will, on the basis of coming from an evidence-based, you know, research-based perspective.
It sounds like similar to what I want to do with the shows is basically create a blueprint or a business plan for every show, because I have the capability of being ongoing, so it's not just a one-off, so that you can look at it in 3 months, 6 months, a year, project, you know, take out the stuff that doesn't work and build on the stuff that does. Is that stuff that you're doing too?
I mean, I think that's a fair characterization. I'm not being too prescriptive with what exactly the initiative does, except that I would like to bring research-based knowledge on organizations to bear on government, and I'd like to learn from government organizations and generate new research. So that's the guiding mission. But in terms of what specific activities fall under each one of those buckets, I'm allowing that to evolve along with the, you know, with the interests of the other people, the other faculty that are involved, with the interest of the government organizations that we are in contact with. So I think that's an important element of a new organization, is being open to evolution, being open to new directions as you see what works and what, you know, what does not work
exactly.
As well.
Exactly. So, you have your own plan, but then when you have interaction with other people, there are things that work and things maybe you haven't even thought of that other people bring in.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, and one of the things I've realized recently is how exciting some of the research is that we can generate from this initiative. That's something that I kind of knew in the back of my head when I went in, but I'm not sure I fully appreciated how exciting are some of the research directions that we can take this, you know, really generating new knowledge about what it is that makes government organizations work better or not so well, you know, in their own right.
Let's go through BIG, Business and Government Initiative, Connecting Organizational Research and National Policy Organizations. Take me through it.
At a really high level, there are two parties. There's the business school world, and there's the world of federal government. On the business school side, you know, we're the Cary Business School. We're representing the business school world. And what we do on a daily basis is we research and we teach what makes organizations effective and ineffective. We approach that in a lot of different ways, whether we study management, like myself, whether we study finance, whether we study marketing. But the common element that connects us at a business school is we're interested in studying in a systematic way what makes organizations effective, not necessarily even business organizations, but just organizations in general. What that means is we believe we have a perspective that could be useful to lots of different types of organizations, including government organizations, in service of maximizing and optimizing their own performance as organizations. So that's really what we're trying to do here. We're not trying to provide guidance about what policies government organizations should be putting into place. There's lots of people that already tried to do that, and that's not our comparative advantage in a business school anyway, I would say.
Right.
You know, we're not trying to, you know, sell consulting services. There's lots of consulting firms that do that too. We're really looking to see if we can impart, you know, research-based knowledge that can really help government organizations improve themselves. So that's the first part of it. And by the way,
can you give me a few examples of that right now?
Well, the example that really comes to mind for me is the one that I research and I think about a lot, which is negotiation. I study, you know, what makes for effective and ineffective negotiation, and I could give you some specific examples of practices that make for effective and ineffective negotiation. One that always seems to surprise people when I tell them about it is that when you're negotiating with somebody, you generally do want to make the first offer, and that's often surprising to people. It's not necessarily what you would find on the internet. And the reason for that is because what you find on the internet is not really grounded in research. Oftentimes, it's kind of grounded in people's intuition and experience. So, other than this radio show, of course. I mean, this is, you know, there's
glad you made that stipulation.
There's you know, there's a lot. You find a lot on Wikipedia, right? And some of it's true, and some of it's not. So, I think that's a nice example of you know, that people, researchers have known for 50 years that under most circumstances, with a few caveats, you generally do want to make the first offer in negotiation. But when I teach that particular lesson to the members of a think tank, for example, which I've done, They're surprised by that, not because, again, not because of me, but because there's no way that they would be exposed to that particular point if not for this type of an initiative. And that's another thing that I wanted to kind of say is that, you know, really this is not just confined to government. So I've used the word national policy organizations. That's a mouthful. What I'm trying to convey with that is that we're interested in helping government organizations, but also interested in the organizations that surround them, think tanks, policy organizations, even nonprofits that contribute to national policy. And then the other part of the initiative is we're very serious about the fact that, you know, we have a perspective. We think we can help. We hope that it's interesting to people, but we also want to learn from those types of organizations because we recognize that we as a business community, as a business school community, don't know everything that there is to know about how a government organization operates. And we believe that, you know, not having that knowledge really kind of causes problems when transplanting things from the business community to the government community. So we want to be humble and respectful, and we really want to learn what works and what doesn't in a government context so that we can refine our perspective, refine our advice, generate new knowledge that hopefully kind of benefits everybody.
When you're talking about think tanks and engaging with them, a lot of think tanks lean toward one way or the other, mm-hmm. the left or the right. How do you manage with that?
Well,
is that a problem, or because you're saying you're not really stepping on toes? You're saying you're just trying to research, understand, and maybe make something better. But you can't help but thinking that maybe there'd be something that you would suggest to them or whatever that they won't take too well.
Well, what we're trying to do is be scrupulously careful with what we say, in that this has no political tinges whatsoever. There's nothing political about optimizing your performance as an organization, and the underlying premise is we're all better off if we're all more effective organizations on both sides of the political spectrum. So I've personally worked with organizations on both sides. I know some of my colleagues have as well. That doesn't mean that we don't have a personal political conviction, sure. But it means that it's really not relevant for the kind of conversation that we're having, which is how can you improve your performance, take it to its kind of optimal level as an organization, and it's not relevant to the idea that we as a society are better off if we can at least in this domain of organizational performance set aside political issues and try to optimize our own the quality of our own organizations and government. One of the periphery goals of the initiative is we live in such a politicized era where everything seems like it's politicized and you have to declare your party allegiance.
The truth,
So one of the periphery goals here is to create a safe zone, if you will, where we can talk about these type of things without those political overtones. You know, I know that I'm aware that that's an uphill battle, and sometimes you encounter that when you're talking to an ideological organization. Sometimes they'll say, you know, we don't want to lay our dirty laundry bare for you because we don't know if it'll end up in the Wall Street Journal, right? I'm aware that feeling exists, and I'm aware that it's going to be a challenge, but that is not to cut away the fact that it's a worthwhile goal. And the takeaway really is that there's two parts of it: seeing if we as a business school community can help the federal government community, including all the organizations that influence national policy, and seeing if we as a business school community can learn from those type of organizations. So it's a two-way process. We've gotten it off the ground. It's fairly exciting so far. And we have some exciting partnerships in the works that perhaps I can tell you about as we move farther along with the initiative.
Tell me about your article in The Sun about Congress and the 5 points in negotiation you talk about.
The article in The Sun was an op that I wrote last week, I believe. The real story behind the article is that on the night that the government first shut down, I woke up at about 4 in the morning, and not just because I have a young daughter who sometimes wakes at 4 in the morning. I woke at 4 in the morning with the idea in my head that this is really the kind of situation where big has a perspective and where big has something important to say. So I woke at that early hour in the morning with the article kind of, I would say, 75% formed in my brain, went to Starbucks and wrote it. And so, you know, if you haven't read the article, basically what it does is says, you know, what would Congress have done if they had gone to business school? That's the basic premise of the article. One of the things they would have done is taken a negotiation class. the funny part is so the title of the article that was assigned by The Sun is Congress Flunks Negotiation 101. That was not my title.
Really?
In the spirit of humble learning, I wouldn't have chosen that strong of a title personally. But my own title was If Congress Had Gone to Business School. And so, you know, what the article does is basically lays out five, you know, fairly simple lessons that you learn in a business school negotiation course that can help everyone to kind of understand, you know, why we have a shutdown, and you know what we can do from here, you know, if we, you know, based on what we would learn in a business school.
So, Brian, is there anything else you'd like to add? I said earlier that I like to approach things as a business plan or a blueprint. Is there anything that you personally would like to see happen with BIG or any of the other work, 3 months to a year?
I think what I would really like to see happen is a recognition on both sides that this kind of thing is important. I mean, I have individual connections who think it's important. Certainly the leadership of the Carey School thinks it's important. I would like to see a broad recognition out there in society that it's important for, number one, for there to be a safe zone where you can talk about organizational effectiveness. Number two, to have a recognition that business schools have something useful and important to say outside of the business world. I mean, I think that in and of itself would be a useful contribution. A recognition also in the business school community that we have something to learn about other types of organizations, government organizations. I think if we accomplish both of those things, that would be a useful contribution to society, and I would be pleased with that.
I would like to be involved in this initiative, and once I go on live and recorded, we could do forums, updates, if Carey School and you would be interested in something like that, just letting people know.
That would be great.
You know, on an ongoing basis.
That would be great. And another important issue embedded in your comment there is that really, you know, I've kind of, for simplicity, I've talked about this in U.S.-centric terms, but we're not limited to the U.S., really. I mean, we know the most about the U.S. because we're here in the U.S. We're 40 miles from Washington, but as this gets going, I certainly see the potential to move to other countries, other nations that are, you know, grappling with the same types of fundamental organizational issues that we are here in the U.S. So I would be excited about expanding it all around the world. Ultimately, thank you. I would be pleased to do that, and I appreciate you having me on and allowing me to talk about it.
Great. Is there anything else you want to add in conclusion?
No, I think we've covered most of what I wanted to say, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, would you like to give some contact info out to people out there?
Sure. The best way to find out more about me and about what we're doing is to go to my own website. I have my own website outside of the Carey School. It's just briangunia.com, briangunia.com. And it lists the research that I've done, the teaching I've done. It also links to some of the articles that I've written and a little bit about the business and government initiative. So I would welcome anybody to go to my website and find out more, and I'd welcome the opportunity to talk to whoever's interested.
Sounds good. Well, Brian, thank you very much for coming on at Baltimore Internet Radio. This is Dave Custy. I've been talking to Brian Gunia, assistant professor at Johns Hopkins Carey Business School.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.